Welcome to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a happy hump day. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listener. So make sure you tune in. 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. At SportsMap Radio. Call on the show. Make sure you also download the SportsMap Radio app. Carry us in your pocket throughout your day so you don't miss a second of our great local programming. And make sure you also download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcast listening systems. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom. Wherever else you call a podcast system home, we got it covered. We're on it. Make sure you download all 3 hours of the show so you don't miss a second of what I have to say or what we're talking about. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun hour planned ahead. So much to get through. Let's talk a little bit about Nick Sirianni and why this is a huge matchup for him. Revenge is a dish best served with a Lombardi trophy, and he is looking for revenge on Andy Reid. There is one X factor in Super Bowl 57 that no one seems to be talking about, mainly because he's not a prominent figure. Who is that name that we need to be focusing in on? And let's also do, as we always do on Wednesdays, Would You Rather, Dallas Mavericks edition. With the addition of Kyrie Irving joining the conversation in Big D, it gives you a backcourt of him and Luka Doncic. Do I take Dallas or do I take the other potential Western Conference contenders duos in the end? I mean, in the Western Conference playoffs. But we start off in Glendale, Arizona, as Patrick Mahomes looks to pick up his second Super Bowl title in the last 5 years. Five AFC championship appearances. The standard is set in the likes of the AFC. Everyone that wants to win a championship, everyone that wants to bring stability to their organization, everybody that wants to join the likes of history in the NFL has to go through Arrowhead Stadium. That's just the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. But everybody has their own path everyone has their own path to the likes of greatness. Some rely heavily on coaching. Others rely on relationships. Others certainly factor in based off of just championships and productivity. But now the question turns to, as Tom Brady hangs up the cleats, puts on his Brady underwear, takes selfies in the mirror, and begins his broadcasting side of his career, will Patrick Mahomes live up to the standard of Tom Brady? Can he be the next GOAT? Can he be the future of the AFC? Can he be a guy that absolutely contends for AFC championships, countless appearances in the Super Bowl, and multiple Lombardi trophies coming his way? Here's what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid had to say at the first night of Super Bowl coverage.
Be tough. I mean, 7 Super Bowl victories, 10 Super Bowls. There's a reason that he's so far ahead of everybody else. It's hard to do. But I'll do my best to chase it. But I got to start off with trying to win this one this week. So I just got to focus on today and then tomorrow and until we get to Sunday. And let's go out there and play our best ball then.
He's a great guy, a great person, and he works extremely hard. He wants to be the best. And as a coach, you go, what more can you ask for? And he handles himself the right way. He handles himself the right way in the locker room and with the front office and the coaches. And that's a tough thing to do and still keep that locker room close. He's been able to do that.
Do me a favor, if we all can for a second. Can we stop comparing players to other players just for a moment? What Tom Brady did will never be duplicated in the NFL. It won't. As much as we would like to say, oh, yes, it's going to be the next guy. Oh, he's going to come in and make the same type of impact. No, every storyline is different. Tom Brady was drafted 199 overall. The only reason he ever got into a football game was because Drew Bledsoe suffered an injury and Bill Belichick needed a backup to come in and fill the void. Ultimately, it panned out. Ultimately, it led to multiple Super Bowl championships, countless AFC championship appearances, and a multitude of production for a player who never was supposed to be more or viewed as in terms of a backup. Patrick Mahomes was drafted top 10. Patrick Mahomes came into the NFL with an expectation that very early on in his career, he was going to make an impact. Yes, there were going to be some growing pains, and certainly he wasn't going to be an immediate factor, but everyone knew what the expectation was. You don't get drafted top 10 to sit the bench for 5 years. You don't get drafted in the first round to not be viewed as a cornerstone piece. And then Patrick Mahomes so far, since being a starter in 2018 on, has been exactly that. Multiple chances to be an MVP. 5 AFC championship appearances. 3 Super Bowl appearances. Everything that you're looking for in a franchise quarterback, he has lived up to. But he plays a game completely different than anybody else out there. And it's more than just in terms of his style. It's in terms of his athleticism. The game has vastly changed in the last 25 years, from when Tom entered the NFL to when Mahomes started winning MVPs. Everything has vastly been different. You need more mobility. You need more stability. You need to be more athletic. Everything that you're looking for in a quarterback is no longer based off productivity and pocket awareness. Those are tools and traits that you certainly should have, but it's more than just that. Every quarterback in the NFL has their own storyline to get to the top of the pinnacle point. And every quarterback is different, but that doesn't change the fact that they are stable. And probably the other thing that's really important, they're good. We all focus in on who's going to be the next Tom Brady. Did anybody say that about Dan Marino? Dan Marino came into the NFL as a superstar coming out of Pitt. He was a name that people figured was going to bring more than just stability, but countless accolades and championships to Miami. And certainly he had his moments. Certainly he will go down in history as one of the greatest players of all time at the quarterback position, but he only went to a handful of AFC championships and one Super Bowl. Does that change what he did on the football field? Did that change who he was as a player? Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is a guy who many people believed was going to be a much more dynamic quarterback than Tom Brady. But Brady and the way that New England played football made it a challenge. They made it hard for him to be able to be the front runner and the GOAT of the AFC. Brett Favre. Brett Favre is a name that has countless touchdowns, multiple accolades, handful of MVPs. He also leads the NFL in interceptions. Does that change the way that we view Brett Favre? Mahomes is just built different than everybody else. He's one of one. Brady is one of one. Their stories are completely and vastly different of how they got to where they are today. And maybe that's exactly what you need to have looking forward. It's interesting to see how now Mahomes feels like an underrated piece, because everyone is saying, is he going to be the next Tom Brady? Is he going to be the next Tom Brady? Is he going to be able to have this type of impact in the NFL? Certainly he's going to be a good player, but just because if he doesn't go to 13 AFC championship appearances, wins 7 Super Bowls and goes to multiple, accolades, countless MVPs, has all the praise in the world, it doesn't change the fact of who he is. The game has improved. The game has vastly been different. Everything that we know about football from the 1990s is no longer anything that we see in today's game. It's completely thrown out the window. It's part of history, and history is adapted to change, just like the quarterback position is. Mahomes would have absolutely been a dynamic player in the 1980s, and the same thing could have been said about Dan Marino now. But Tom Brady also would have worked in the 1980s. He also would have worked in the 1970s. That type of quarterback, pocket awareness, stability behind the line of scrimmage, completion percentage, really building connectivity, trusting a run game, that worked back then. It doesn't work now. It's a pass-happy league. You got to be more dynamic as a thrower. You got to have a better deep ball. You got to have better arm strength. If you don't have that, you're not going to last. We see these quarterbacks nowadays. Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, all of them have great stability in the pocket. All of them are fantastic players that would have worked back in the 1990s, would have worked back in the 1980s. But they also work now, but we also know their limitations. You have to build around them. You have to be able to have certain precipice around them. You can't just rely on them to be your X factor. They can win Super Bowls. Nobody's saying that they can't, but they won't be the reason you win it. Mahomes is the reason that you win the damn thing. Mahomes is the reason why you are who you are. Mahomes is the reason why you can be that type of player. And it's the reason why Kansas City has a shot from here on out to be the forefront leaders of the AFC. Do I think that the AFC is going to be more challenging in the future? Absolutely. more so because of the quarterback position, but also because teams realize that you can't just win with great quarterback play. Kansas City is the exception, and they have to be the exception. Why? Well, think about it. Everything that we know right now is all based off of Mahomes. Mahomes loses his number one receiver in Tyreek Hill. They lose countless players in the offseason. They also don't have a great rapport with the receiving core in general, yet they still average over 300 yards passing. They still finished with one of the best offenses in the NFL. They can lose talent and still have connectivity, still have productivity, still have stability, and that's what works. If you have that type of guy, it's going to be what works. You know, it's going to be what keeps you alive. It's going to be what keeps you promising, keeps you moving forward, keeps you treading ahead. And I look at Mahomes, and it just feels like at this point, it's getting tiresome. Stop comparing players. Mahomes is different than Brady. Brady was different than Manning. Manning was different than Marino. Marino was different than Terry Bradshaw. Bradshaw was different than Bart Starr. And the list goes on and on throughout the history of the NFL. It doesn't change the fact that all of them are financially stable and physically gifted players who brought more than just championships to an organization. They brought a standard to an organization. But it doesn't mean that everyone has to follow the same pathway. Every single player is different. Every single trajectory is different. Mahomes, in the way that he plays his game, works because it's Mahomes' style of play. You ask him to play like Tom Brady, it's not going to pan out. And yes, there's going to be an expectation for him to be the leader in the forefront of the AFC. And yes, there's going to be the name for him to be the focal point of the AFC. But if he's not and he doesn't win all these accolades, it doesn't change the fact that he is one of the greatest quarterback talents we've ever seen. Please, do me a favor. Stop comparing Mahomes to Tom Brady.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Revenge is a dish best served with the Lombardi Trophy. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson. We're just saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. And one of the more underlining stories to follow during Super Bowl 57 week is the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid. Dare I say, the non-relationship between Nick Sirianni and Andy Reid. So for those of you that don't know, Nick Sirianni actually spent time with the Kansas City Chiefs before he became known as the face of Philadelphia, the Mr. Guru, the anxiety-driven coach who had a terrible first-time press conference. He was a wide receivers coach underneath Romeo Crennel during the 2-14 season in 2012. Ultimately, Crennel was fired at the end of the year. Andy Reid comes in, and Andy Reid wants to bring in his own coaching staff, wants to bring in his own people, wants to make sure that the names that are added to the roster in the coaching staff and on the actual roster will benefit him in building a championship in the AFC. Nick Sirianni was not a part of that. Sirianni was fired. And because of it, he ended up getting a couple of big opportunities afterwards. Coach with Philip Rivers and Frank Reich out in San Diego. Reich gets a head coaching job later on in Indianapolis. He brings him in as his receivers coach and then later brings him in as his offensive coordinator. Because of it, they now have stability and they have a great rapport to where the Eagles call Frank Reich and ask him, hey, what do you think of this Nick Sirianni guy? I think he's perfect. May end up working out for you. So much so that after a 2-3 start in 2021, they end up going 21-6 in their next 27 games. And now they're on the cusp of winning a second Lombardi Trophy since 2017. Relationships are really important in life. Whether they're good, bad, indifferent, you need to have at least some type of relationships. I have several that I'm very proud of. I have several that I've worked to earn. I have great respect with these people. They work very hard in the industry. They're top names. They give me advice. They tell me exactly what I'm doing right. They tell me what I'm doing wrong. I also have negative relationships with people in the industry. Those who certainly I need to build a better rapport with and need to have better conversations with. But the expectation is that as long as I have a relationship with this person, I'm going to have history. And that history is going to carry me further and further. Happens everywhere. Negative praise, positive praise, whatever you want to say, it all ends up panning out for you. For Nick Sirianni, this is more than just winning a championship. At his opening press conference, people across the country panned him and criticized him for his ability to speak to the public eye, calling it one of the worst hires of the offseason. Wasn't going to work out. Wasn't going to be a good fit. Just like Jalen Hurts, had to go through adversity, had to earn respect from the city of Philadelphia, had to prove to everybody in the building that he was the right choice from the get-go. But on top of that, there's more than just a shot at proving to the world that press conferences are overrated. It's a shot to show Andy Reid what he was missing out on. Reid went to 10 AFC playoff appearances. He has been the most stable coach in the AFC, arguably besides Bill Belichick, in the last decade. And he's worked with a vast character of different quarterbacks, personnel members, offense coordinators, all of which have benefited and built a different type of style because of it, because of their relationship. Nick Sirianni wasn't one of them. Sirianni had to learn things the hard way. Sirianni had to go things in a different path. He had to go ahead and reinvent himself, prove to why he belonged in the NFL, and show the world what they were missing. A win over Andy Reid is more than just that for him. It's an opportunity to show everybody, this is what could have been. I could have been one of your disciples. And because of what you missed out on, now you have to pay the price. Revenge does work. And revenge does fuel people. In even the smallest of ways. You may not like a conversation with somebody. Someone may say that you're not good at your job. And then 2 weeks later, what you do is you show them up and you just stand there and smile. It's all part of life. Every bit of this thing happens. Every bit of it occurs. And I look at a guy like Sirianni, who's trying to prove not just to the city of Philadelphia that he belongs in the league, but to everybody around who said that this was going to be a terrible hire, he could actually work. He's also proving to himself and proving to Andy Reid what could have been. It's a storyline that maybe won't get as much praise because of where it stands, because they didn't have a relationship. But never forget, revenge is always a dish best served with a championship. And Nick Sirianni is 1 game, 3 hours, and 4 quarters away from actually giving that type of revenge to a guy like Andy Reid. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson, just saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. One thing and one storyline that I think is also need to be following, that people need to be following, is the X Factor, the name that has been forgotten about in the Super Bowl. We know about the head coaches, Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni. Sirianni gets the chance to really stabilize an organization within 2 years. Andy Reid is about the staple of the AFC, probably the staple of the NFL. We know about offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. His work with quarterback play, his work with the running backs, his overall consistency has been part of the reason why Kansas City has been where it is today. We know about the offensive coordinator and Shane Steichen. So much so that Steichen is now following in a similar path as Sirianni to where Jim Irsay, who once employed Sirianni, is calling him and asking about Steichen for the head coaching job at Indianapolis. We also know about Jonathan Gannon. Gannon, this past season, arguably had the second best defense in the NFL. They had the number one defense when it came to passing. They only allowed four more points than the likes of San Francisco. They finished number two in total yards allowed, and he has been a name, at least in the coaching circles for head coaching opportunities, the last 2 years. The name that is forgotten about, the name that shouldn't be forgotten about, is Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this, my friends, is the X factor. You want to win a championship this weekend. You want to bring home a title to Kansas City. You want to be the reason why your team is so damn good. You need to have a great game plan from Steve Spagnuolo. Here's the good news, Kansas City fans. Here's the good news if you're betting on Kansas City. Steve Spagnuolo has been here before, and he is impressed. Let's just go back to 2007 in the own building where the game will be played on Sunday afternoon. New York Giants versus New England Patriots. On the sidelines underneath Tom Coughlin, Steve Spagnuolo sat and waited for his opportunity to call plays and deliver the biggest upset in potentially Super Bowl history. New England on the cusp of being the only team to go undefeated since 1972 and win a Super Bowl title. Couldn't get the ball rolling. Scored 14 points because the pressure added, the stunt formations, the excellent secondary play eliminated big-time opportunities for Tom Brady. Steve Spagnuolo called that game. Steve Spagnuolo made Tom Brady feel the pressure, and he made Bill Belichick shiver in his shindigs. Because you want to know why? Because if he absolutely knew what was at stake. He knew what it took to win this game. 3 years ago, San Francisco, up by 10 in the second half against Kansas City. on the cusp of getting another championship, finally joining Pittsburgh, New England, even surpassing Dallas as one of these teams that belongs in their own entity because of the franchise's stability. And what happens? Well, they don't get the game plan going. They absolutely stall. The run game deteriorates. They can't find any stability in any factor. That's because of Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Spagnuolo has been here on multiple occasions. He has called great plays. He has been able to make the adjustments in the second half in the biggest and brightest stages. And it's important to know this because that is what's going to be the X factor. This is a very young team. You got to remember, as much as we talk about Patrick Mahomes and this high-tempo offense, the defense has been viewed as an Achilles heel for Kansas City. And this season, they're playing with more than just a handful of rookies. They're playing with a new crop of player, of prospects who are expected to be here for the long run. Guys like Jalen Watson, guys like George Karlaftis, guys like Joshua Williams, Brian Cook, countless others, all of them making an immediate impact this season and will be asked to cover one of the more dynamic, versatile offenses in the NFL for a shot at a Lombardi Trophy. If you're trusting anybody to play in the big show, if you're trusting anybody to be in the spotlight, it has to be Steve Spagnuolo. Because Spagnuolo understands what it takes to go up against the X Factor. He understands what it takes to go up when you're down. He understands what it will take for you to be able to build some stability. And that's where you are as an organization. That's what you need in this game. You need somebody who's been there before. Sirianni has never been in a Super Bowl before. Shane Steichen has never been in a Super Bowl before. Jonathan Gannon has never been in a Super Bowl before, at least in terms of this type of roster. But Steve Spagnuolo has, and Spagnuolo has done this against multiple teams, countless names, all of which are viewed as difference makers in the sport. The only name that probably we do not give, the name that we give the most praise to offensively outside of a guy like Andy Reid is Kyle Shanahan. He shut Kyle Shanahan down in the second half. Bill Belichick had one of the best offenses, and Josh McDaniels was calling highlight plays with the likes of New England in Glendale, Arizona. They almost were able to say, hey, Miami, go ahead and retire that bubbly. You're not going to be able to pop it anymore. And Spagnuolo played it. So guess what? In this game, in this matchup, you need to have this type of coach make this type of impact. It only happens with experience. It's part of the reason why people are saying Andy Reid has the edge over Nick Sirianni, despite the offenses being very similar. I look at the same thing. You want to have a good game plan? Steve Spagnuolo? Well, he's your X factor.
This is Just Saying It. On the Sports Map Radio Network, here's Cole Thompson.
It's our favorite game of Wednesdays, Just Saying It. Would you rather? Basically, what we do is we pick two subjects and I say, would you rather this or would you rather that? This time, Kyrie Irving making his debut tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. He is expected to play and now brings a backcourt that features him and Luka Doncic that hopefully will bring stability and potentially a championship to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, here's the big thing. Everyone in the NBA has a great duo. You no longer see a team just be led by one certain player. Look at LeBron James. He's able to go ahead and set a record last night against breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring. And the Lakers still lost the game. Why? He doesn't have a secondary player. Anthony Davis is good, but Anthony Davis is not great right now. He's not able to stay on the court. So, how do I view the new pairing of Kyrie Irving and Luka compared to everyone else in the Western Conference, especially when it comes closer to the postseason? Let's not waste any time. Michael, start the music.
Would you rather Kyrie Irving and Luka or Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, I'm taking Nikola and Jamal. And the main reason why is because defense. You look at Nikola Jokic, he's honestly going to be in the forefront to win the MVP for a third straight time. He's averaging 24.8 points per game. But the difference is he also has 11.3 rebounds. He plays both sides of the court. So you know he's going to be a factor down in the paint when it comes to scoring, but he's also going to be a factor when it comes to stopping scoring. Jamal Murray in the backside, 20.2 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 5.8 assists. He does a little bit of everything. He's a perfect complement to what Nikola Jokic does down low, to what he does up top. You don't have great defensive play with Luka and Kyrie. That's going to be a major factor when it comes down to the overall standings.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.?
I'm going to go right now with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Very similar situation. Ja's able to put up a lot of points, 27.3. He also has 5.8 rebounds, 8.3 assists. Jaren Jackson Jr. averages 6.7 rebounds a game, 16.6 points per game, and he also averaged 1.6 blocks per game. You can also throw in Steven Adams if you want to, 11.5 rebounds per game. You can maybe throw in Desmond Bain with 21.7 points per game. But I really look at these two. They complement each other extremely well down low and up high. I think that's going to benefit them to get a couple of wins in the postseason, especially in one possession matchups. When it comes to rebounding, you need to be able to block out players. I don't think you're going to see that from Kyrie and Luka.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox?
This is one where, as of right now, I think I'm going to go Kyrie and Luka. The main reason why is because of even though Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox have been playing great this year, I need to see a little bit more when it comes to De'Aaron and on the defensive side. Now, again, when you have the high scoring like you do in Dallas, or hopefully the high scoring in Dallas, this should benefit them. But you only have really one player making an impact defensively in Sacramento, and it is Sabonis. 12.3 rebounds. He also has seven assists. Where everyone else is just kind of playing tiddlywinks. De'Aaron Fox actually ranks third in rebounds at 4.3. Harrison Barnes is averaging 0.3 more rebounds than him. That's not going to be the case. And when you don't have enough of a scoring, where it's 24.1 points for De'Aaron and Sabonis is only averaging 18.6, it does hamper your production a little bit. So I think that if I were to go in a seven-game series, I would probably take the Mavs in five.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Paul George and Kawhi Leonard?
I feel like I should say Kawhi and Paul. I feel like I should. I'm not going to. I'm going to probably take... You know what? Yeah, I am. Because you want to know why? The numbers mirror very well to each other. Both are averaging over 22 points per game. Both are averaging 6.1 rebounds per game. Both are averaging at least 4 assists per game. It feels like that they're a good tandem. The one thing I worry about, and I guess this would be the one thing that I worry about as well when I'm talking about a team like Dallas, is the injury concerns. Kawhi this season has only played in 31 games. PG has only played in 40 games. But I do think that if they can play well enough together and stay healthy, they would win a seven-game series against Dallas. So it's a risk. I mean, it is, because if you don't know how many games you're going to get out of Kawhi, he hasn't been able to stay healthy since arriving in Los Angeles. But at the same time, if he does stay healthy, they are one of the best combinations in the NBA.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Devin Booker and Chris Paul?
Yeah, this one is I will take Kyrie and Luka. I think, honestly, Devin Booker is the only reason why you have Phoenix playing efficient basketball right now. The guy is averaging 27.1 points per game. Not to mention, he also is averaging 4.6 rebounds per game. You have the same type of offensive production of what you're going to get with Luka and Kyrie, but the numbers have really started to diminish for Chris Paul. In fact, so much so that he was actually mentioned in the trade for Kyrie. There was a package in place to where Phoenix would have gotten Kyrie Irving to pair along with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And if I'm not mistaken, it would have been not Cameron Payne. It would have been, I think, Cameron Johnson would have gone back. It would have been Jay Crowder and a multiple first-round picks would have gone back to Brooklyn. So it already feels like they were trying to move off of him. If you're looking at it from DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, I still probably would take Kyrie and Luka just because they both are averaging over 25 points per game. And when you have that tandem in the backcourt, it allows you to set up a lot of plays to where maybe you can miss a player or two, and that benefits you as well. So close... Definitely something to keep an eye on, but I think if I was just going based off the two tandems of Booker and Chris Paul, plus the injuries are another major thing. Booker's coming back this week. I'd probably take Luka and Kyrie.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Steph Curry and Klay Thompson?
I'm not betting against Steph. Like, that's the main thing. Klay's fallen off the cliff. Klay is no longer the same player that he once was. The three-point shooting has gone down. His efficiency has gone down. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't do a lot of good defensive things. But it's very hard not to pick Steph. The only thing I will say is Steph's injury concerns are going to be a major factor. Can he stay healthy? Can he come back? Can he be a factor, focal point for this offense, especially down the stretch? They're currently sitting at 28 and 26. They're fourth in the Pacific Division. Is that going to hamper their overall production and their seeding in the postseason? If so, fine. But again, both these two are averaging over 21 points per game. Steph is doing a lot more when it comes to the assist. He's also getting the ball to other players. His efficiency in three-point shooting hasn't gone down at all. I consider that a huge win over a guy like Luka and Kyrie. Just him alone, I consider that.
Would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram?
I'm going to take Zion and Brandon Ingram. Listen, I know that sounds like a little far-fetched, but at the same time, I don't think they've hit their stride. That's the main point, is that once they can play at an efficient level, they're going to be one of the best tandems in the league. Zion's averaging 26 points per game. He's playing 29 games this past year. Ingram's averaging 21.2 points per game. Zion's averaging 7 rebounds. Brandon Ingram's averaging 5.3 rebounds. On top of that, Brandon Ingram's averaging 5 assists per game. Zion's averaging 4.6 assists per game. So basically, they play off each other. Again, the health status of these two, really the health status of Zion is going to be the difference in this overall matchup. But I consider this, especially the fact that they play both sides of the ball and the fact that they can really work as a tandem, more beneficial than something that we would see with both Kyrie and Luka.
And would you rather Kyrie and Luka or Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns?
I'll take Kyrie and Luka. I just think the backcourt and the consistency of shooting is going to be the major thing. I think that's really going to be what separates these two. And the other thing that I will say is that I feel like that Dallas is an easier pathway to get to the playoffs, to where they would move up closer to the four seed than a team like Minnesota. Minnesota just doesn't have it right now. I just view a team like the Timberwolves as still kind of in the rebuilding process. They're not great. They're not terrible. They're just kind of around. Again, you have two of the best shooters in the league and one of the best bigs in the league with Karl Anthony Towns, but Edwards, I want to see more defensive play from. I don't think you're going to get it. I feel like if that's going to be the case, you have to kind of separate it, where the backcourt shooting is going to be the most efficient thing, and that's what's going to work for these two. I also just like the way the division plays out for them. I think they have an easier pathway to get a higher seed in the playoffs. All right, Michael, where would you say of the duos right now of Luka and Kyrie rank in the Western Conference?
Out of all of these, I'll go number one, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, that feels like right, because Jokic is averaging a triple double right now.
Second, I'll go Devin Booker, Chris Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though Booker's hurt?
I mean, if they're healthy.
That's what I'm saying. Even if Booker is... So you're saying if Booker's healthy, then that's what works.
I'll put Devin Booker and Chris Paul over Luka and Kyrie. And third, I can't bet on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
So you would put them...
more Steph Curry.
So you'd put them at fourth?
Yeah.
I would probably say third or fourth as well. Mine, though, would have been... Mine would have been number one, Jokic and Murray. If they stay healthy, based off just health alone, I would probably go PG and Kawhi. I then would go Steph and Klay. Because you can't bet against Steph. Steph is just one of those players that when you look at his efficiency, you look at his numbers and his productivity, he hasn't diminished, he hasn't taken a step back, he hasn't started to lose any bit of the three-point shooting. That, to me, plays a factor. Add that in, I think that just makes him a difference maker. And then Kyrie and Luka.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Tom was a big reason why I decided to stay in the AFC after I left the Colts. I mean, I easily could have gone to a couple of NFC teams, but I thought, no, look, I played against Tom a bunch and the Patriots, and eventually you're going to have to play them at some point. Even if you go to the AFC and you make the Super Bowl, you're probably going to play them. I said, you know, let me at least try to earn it in the AFC, you know, seeing them in the playoffs. And so I enjoyed those games. I enjoyed that rivalry. And so that was actually one of the reasons I decided to stay in the AFC in Chapter 2 for me. Wow.
Peyton Manning on the Go Long podcast discussing his rivalry with Tom Brady in the AFC. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson, which is saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. What I love about hearing that is that it didn't matter to players like Peyton and Tom about where they were in their own spotlight, because it didn't matter what they did without a little bit of presidency. And I think that that's really important in today's society, is that we look at today's realm of we just expect everything handed to us. And even my generation does this. We all expect that things will just come naturally. It'll be easy. We'll be able to get a lot of praise. We'll be able to get a lot of just benefit of the doubt, and it'll all work out for us. Other people, though, ask. We want it earned. We need it earned. A guy like Peyton Manning apparently easily could have gone anywhere. And you know what? Give more power to him. Why couldn't he have gone anywhere? Any team would have been lucky to have a Peyton Manning on their roster. But the pathway to the championship would have been, in his opinion, a little more soured if he didn't have this impact and this rivalry. Rivalries make us better. Perfect example. There's a person that I know in this industry that I do not like. He does not like me. We do not get along. We do not care for each other. But I respect him for what he does. And I hope that one day he will respect me. Don't really care if he does or not. But at the same time, when I beat him at something, guess what happens? I feel really good about myself. When he beats me at something, I know that he relishes in it. He loves it. Rivalries are supposed to exist for a reason. Rivalries make us better as people because it keeps a standard alive. Peyton Manning easily could have gone to the NFC, won countless championships, and met Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But wouldn't it have been a little bit sour? Wouldn't it have been a little bit more, what's the proper word I'm looking for? Unfinished, unresolved, if he didn't get to play him in the AFC? These were two of the best quarterbacks that we have seen in the last 25 years. And honestly, these are two of the best quarterbacks that we will ever see grace a football field. As the game continues to elevate, as the game continues to change, the thing is, players like Peyton and Tom won't be going away anytime soon. Their impact on the field and their impact for organizations means something in the massive spotlight. These are two people who, when you look at, they absolutely did everything in their power to bring stability and continuity to their rosters. And part of the reason why we talk about them in such a prominent light is because they had to go up against each other for a shot at winning a Super Bowl. I think that's really important. I think that's really telling. To have a guy like Peyton Manning, who could have done anything that he wanted in his career, maybe gone to Washington, maybe gone to Chicago, gone to countless other organizations that would have given him more Super Bowls, more opportunities to win MVPs, more NFC championships, more accolades, more rings, more stability, more everything in that matter. With all of it, to have that, but still stay in the AFC, that tells you something. People who work with you make you that much better. People who work against you make you that much stronger. And people who continue to push you to be the best version of yourself make you want it that much more. Anybody who works in today's society needs to have that stability, needs to have that personnel, needs to have those people pushing you to your limits. If you don't have that, you don't really have anything. Anybody can be anything in life, but those of which who make us that much better by pushing us forward, by making sure that we are going to be able to have this tandem, this expectation, those are the ones that we view as those who push us and make us that much greater. 800-224-2004, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. So Kyrie Irving makes his debut tonight with the against the Los Angeles Clippers, down with Big D. How will it all pan out? There's going to be people who definitely doubt this. There's going to be people out there who say this isn't going to work. This is going to be a major failure, and for good reason. Everywhere Kyrie Irving has been less than stellar for multiple possibilities. The biggest thing is that he plays the leading man when he's more so a supporting cast member. That's kind of the story. Everywhere that he has been, he has needed to be the supporting cast. Unfortunately, because of the way that he acts, because of the way that he is, and because of his personality, you want him, no, he expects to be the guy instead of a guy. The difference is that when you have two alphas in the room, kind of like Luka, it's going to force one of you to have to take a step back. Ultimately, it feels like in this situation, maybe Kyrie takes a step back. This is a team that needs to be able to average more points. This is a team that offensively needs to get better production. And this is an organization that knows that its best chance of winning a title is by having a duo. But again, you have two alphas running the show in the building. One of which is Luka, who averages 33 points per game, and one of which is Kyrie Irving, who averages 29 a game. Neither play defense, neither really offer anything on the other side of the court, and both of which are massive ball handlers. So one of them is going to be humbled very early on, which could mean a separation and could be the downfall. The one positive I do see is that offensive production is currently running the Western Conference. Eight of the top 10 scoring teams in the NBA all hail on the Western side. Dallas is not one of them. Dallas is only averaging 112 points per game. And it doesn't really benefit them because, unfortunately, every other team is playing that much better. They currently are the number 5 seed in the Western Conference, but that number could expand to number 4, number 3, maybe even number 2 with a good backcourt tandem. The other thing I will say is that you don't need to marinate this and say that this is going to work out long term. All you're hoping for is just this to benefit you for the short process. Every time people see these massive deals get made, we want to focus in on it being a long-term stability. Look at the MLB. The MLB, you'll see countless names be traded at the deadline for massive prospect and draft capital, especially when it comes to rebuilding franchises, because they realize that they're not going anywhere. But what happens is they only view that player as a rental option. They're the ringer. They come in at the right moment to bring your team from good to great. Maybe that's what Dallas thinks of Luka. I mean, maybe that's what Dallas thinks of Kyrie. Kyrie, certainly when he's on the court, has been a top 20 player this season and absolutely deserves as much praise as possible for his efforts on, you know, for his efforts when he is healthy. Luka, in my opinion, is a top 10 player in the sport. And he has been dynamic when it comes to ball handling. He's really good when it comes to breakaways. He also is more than happy to take a shot when no one else can, and he is an X factor. I view this as a rental. I don't view this in the same light as those who are trying to sign long-term deals. If it works out for 6 months, go ahead and re-sign him. Bring him back in for 2 years. And in 2 years, when you realize, oh, the same old song and dance featuring Kyrie and Luka isn't working out, trade him for the most value as possible. It's going to happen. History does just find a way to repeat itself. Happened in Cleveland, happened in Boston, happened in Brooklyn. Why is it not going to happen in Dallas? But if it doesn't work out, there really is no harm, no foul. You can offer him a 1-year contract. You can offer him a 2-year contract. Maybe these two work out together. They have good chemistry. And this now becomes your building block for the future. If that's the case, then also I think it works out. There really is no lose-lose situation, at least in this season. I don't think the addition of Kyrie Irving puts Dallas in the forefront of the Western Conference. I still would take Denver over them. I still would probably take Golden State over them when they're fully healthy. And Michael brought up a good point. When Devin Booker and Chris Paul are on the court, add in the likes of Cam Johnson, add in the likes of DeAndre Ayton, they're a four-man formidable quartet that absolutely can own the Western Conference. So I don't view Dallas still as a front runner for the Western Conference. But what I do view them as, at least in my personal belief, is at this point, they could at least build a culture. They could at least have something to build on and have as the base block for 2024 and beyond. That to me is the most important factor. Is if you're trying to build a stable franchise, you need to have continuity and stability. It'll be interesting to see how this all plans out. Nobody knows what Kyrie Irving is going to do. Nobody knows if Kyrie Irving is going to be able to play forefront with Luka. And to be fair to Kyrie, just a little bit, Luka also needs to be a little bit humbled, just in my personal opinion. Think about this for a second. One of the main reasons why Jalen Brunson is playing in New York and not with Dallas is he wanted an opportunity to showcase his own talents. He only got to do that in a limited capacity because of every single time the ball had to go Luka. Ought to be Luka efficient, ought to be Luka oriented. And sure, maybe that benefits him for the short term, maybe it doesn't. But if now you're trying to see that the only way you're going to win games, the only way that you're going to be able to be viewed in a positive spectrum is by having a great duo, maybe both are humbled by the process. That's just the way that I view it. That's just the way I think that things will unfold. And ultimately, I think that that's the way you have to consider everything moving forward. Do I think this works out? At least not this year, no. But in the long run, who's to say?